Very good. Well, he has. He's done it all. He can do it. Well, I was glad when he said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I'm excited about church. All right. I'm excited about the Lord. And I'm glad I can have church at home. But I think it's better when we get together. I do. I believe it's better when we get together. All right. Everybody all right? We'll look at some things this morning. We've done been, this will be 13 weeks on the home. Seems like it, don't it? Seems like it's been longer than that, don't it? But we'll probably, this may finish us up this morning, unless the Lord changes our heart, and this may be the last message for a while anyway on the home. But I want you to listen carefully this morning, because it's gonna make you think about some things, and I'm hoping it does. I hope you understand I cannot change you. The Lord is the only one can change you, but the Lord will not change you against your will. He'll put you in a place that you'll wish you had changed, but he will not change you. But it's the same way in the church. It's the same way with your personal life, not necessarily with your spouse or with your children or grandchildren or parents, but you're supposed to have a relationship with the Lord. I'm persuaded every week after I speak with people, I'm persuaded that there is many that know church, but they don't know Christ. Amen. I'm persuaded that many know church ways, but they don't know Christ ways. I'm persuaded that many live church ways, but they don't live for Christ. And I believe there'll be many that'll be seated in the church pew when the Lord comes, and they'll not even notice. That's what I have come to realize, and only because of the conversation of the people. It's not my judgment. It's things that it exposes themselves. You know. Everybody understand? Sometimes we tell on ourselves. Everybody understand that? Sometimes we tell on ourselves. And if there's no relationship with the Lord, it will come out. Now, I think it's good that everybody go to church. I think everybody ought to go to church. If you're not saved, I believe you ought to get to church as often as you can, because that increases your chances of trusting Christ. It really does. But if you are saved, you ought to come. You ought to be itching to come. You ought to be itching to come. And I want you to think about some things concerning the home this morning. All right, everybody okay? I'm going to pray, then we're going to look at some scripture. All right? Everybody all right? Yeah. Father, we come today. You're so wonderful. The encouragement you've given us this morning through testimony, the encouragement you give us through song, has been wonderful. The special singing and the special singers and the special songs was great. Thank you. The congregation, as we together sung the last hymn, it was a joy to hear the church singing again. And oh God, we got to have you. We got to have your touch. Lord, with the things that we carry, Lord, a lot of things we ain't got no business carrying. We ought to give it to you. There are some burdens that we are needing to carry, sure. There are some others, burdens that we need to carry. But Lord, there's some sin that we can't carry. We got to give to you. And there's some failures that we got to give to you. We got to have you this morning. I ask you for help. Speak to our hearts with the word of God today, and let us remember who you are. And we're going to thank you and praise you. Search my heart. Search my mind. Cleanse me from anything that be contrary to your will, anything like sin. I'm sorry. I ask you to remove it. And touch me fresh of thy Holy Spirit. Give me power, I pray, in Jesus' name, and amen. Whether we have been changed by the messages the last 12 weeks, I cannot say. It will come out eventually. We'll see. But it's not for me to try to find the change. It's for me to tell you what the Word of God teaches. And then you're going to have to make the decision. This morning's the same way. I've told you the story, and we're going to tell it one more time, about the preacher that I know that was looking at his walls, and they seemed to crack in his drywall, and it bugged him, so he called a painter and asked the painter to come and see if he could fix his drywall. And the painter said, sure, I can fix it. And he puttied it over and sanded it down and repainted it, and it looked great. And he was tickled and got his money and left, and the preacher was happy. But a few weeks later, the crack reappeared. And after the crack reappeared, he called the man back to guarantee his work. He come back and he apologized, and he reputtied and sanded and repainted, and everything looked great. And again, he went on his merry way. About a month later, the crack reappeared, and the man was upset. He said, I'm not calling that guy back no more. He found the best in town. Called him and said, won't you come fix my drywall? He come, looked at it. As he looked at it, he just stood and stared and looked and looked and looked. And said, well, can you fix it? He said, no, can't. He said, I thought you was the best in town. I am. This is what I major on. But I can't fix your problem, because your problem is not the cracked drywall. Your problem is the foundation of your house. If you fix your foundation, then we can repair the drywall and it'll no longer crack. And again, I remind you that we have spent years, not days, not 12 weeks. We've spent years patching our drywall, repainting it, sanding it off, sitting back for 2 or 3 weeks like we've done something. Everything's good. And then there's the crack. What's sad is most of the time it's the same crack. Now I can understand if it cracked in a different room. Couldn't you? If it was cracking in a different place and we kept, well, we said, well, that's growth. That's the shift of the earth, and that's the world we live in. But when it cracks in the same place all the time, there's a problem. Do you understand that? My Popo Burris, he was a funny guy, sense of humor, and you always mess with grandkids. And even though we didn't live far apart, we didn't get down like we should have probably. We didn't get down the seam enough. And he'd mess with me. And he said, you coming back to see me? And I said, yeah. He said, well, we better bury the hatchet. He said, you left the handle sticking up last time. And I said, I did. He said, you ain't been here. He told that southern talk. And we'd shake hands and bury the hatchet. Then the next time I go down there, hey, we going to bury the hatchet again. The handle's sticking up. Boy, you done tripped over the handle. And that's where we're at. We keep tripping over the same handle. Because we ain't burying the hatchet. See, when you bury the hatchet, it fixes things. Everybody understand that terminology? Some of y'all might be too young to understand that terminology. I understand at times my age tells on me. All right? But y'all got enough sense to know if you fix things, it's fixed. Right? How about we get plain? If you fix it, it's fixed. If you fix this, it was broke. Well, you didn't fix it then. Right? Think about that. So let's look at our home just for a moment. Now, it's your decision. I ain't got nothing in it. I got something in my home, but I ain't got nothing in yours. It's your decision. Joshua chapter 24, verse 15 says this, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I'm going to go ahead and fix my foundation. I'm going to work on that. I'll worry about the drywall later. I'm going to make sure my foundation is serving the Lord. Psalms 127 verse 1 says this, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. Except the Lord build the house. How about Matthew? Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 and 25. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 and 25 says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. See, the foundation is what's important. Except the Lord build the house, you labor in vain. The house that's built on the rock is the house that will stand. Unless I decide, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, then we're not going to be able to build upon things. Now, we're not building upon religion this morning. We're going to build upon Christ. The old hymn says, on Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Now, the fellow wrote that hymn understood some things, that it was Christ that was important. See, you don't build your house on the church. Even though the church will not fail because Christ started the church, can I tell you, this congregation is the church, not this building. He's going to see that the believers get home. All right? That's true. But you don't build your home on the church. You build your home on Christ and that personal relationship. See, but we forget the relationship. We forget the relationship, how things start. And if we can at all, we're going to preach the message this morning. If you want the title for this part, is Forgotten Things in the Home. Forgotten Things in the Home. Forgotten Things. Now, since we're preaching on the home and we think about the home, we got to compare it to our relationship with the Lord, because there's nothing else to compare it to. Christ plainly had written in the Word of God that husbands are to love their wife as Christ loved the church. A comparison to Christ. Everybody understand that? The Bible plainly says that it's God the head of Christ. Christ head of man the head of woman. He lays everything out that it compares to Christ. He plainly says to the church, he said, for I have espoused you to one. Yes. To one wife. Showing a relationship with Christ in the church and our relationship. All through the Word of God, he shows the comparison with the relationship with God and man, him and man, and us and our spouse. All through the Scripture. He started the home before he ever started government, before he ever started the church. He had man, he created a creation, all the animals, all the universe, everything. Then he created man, and then he created him a woman, and then he put them together, had a home. He brought her to him as a gift to help him to have a home that he could walk with them together, and he come down every day, as was his practice, to commune with husband and wife because he wanted a home. A relationship with him and the husband and the wife. Therefore, the husband and the wife had to have a relationship. And they were naked, it says. They were naked and they were not ashamed of it, because there was no secrets. Everything was transparent. There was no problems. They got together. He didn't have nobody on the side, because she was the only one. And she only had eyes for him, because he weren't the other man. Pretty simple, ain't it? Huh? Everybody understand that? You got God, man, and woman. Can I tell you it's how it's supposed to be? God, man, and woman. Children are a heritage. Children are a blessing. If you go ahead and read in Psalms 127, it'll talk about how good the children are. But they're extras. The children grow and leave. Give you blessed grandchildren. What a blessing that is. But who's supposed to be together? Mom and dad. Husband and wife. Man and woman. Man, woman, and God. Now, we're not going to dwell on all the mistakes we've made and all the stupidity we've shown. And there's many that don't have what we started with. We know that. And it's all because of sin. Any problem in the home is because of sin. Can I go a step further? Any problem in a home is because of unconfessed sin sometimes it's confessed, but it's not fixed. Huh? But sin's the problem. Every man sins. The Bible teaches, for the one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Therefore, we all die because of sin.
Amen.
Well, we know that. But the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. We know that. Well, that's good. But when we get back down to this personal thing, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You got a man and a woman that are sinners. That's why they got to have God. You got an imperfect man and you got an imperfect woman, but you got a perfect God. And if the man don't try to get a hold of God and a woman don't try to get a hold of God, then they're always going to be apart. But because of a great God and great mercy and great grace that He puts on me and you, and by the blood of Christ, He'll take an imperfect man and an imperfect woman and put them together and be right in the middle of it, and they can have a home that is pleasing unto God. But it's got to be by the way of God, not by the way of man.
Amen.
And if it don't work, it's His and her fault. It's not His fault.
Amen.
It's never His fault. We okay? It's never His fault. But we forget things. See, a lot of times, can everybody humor me this morning? You ever got sideways? Anybody here ever got sideways with the Lord other than me? Hold your hand up if you've ever been sideways with the Lord. Now hold it up for a minute. If you ever been sideways with the Lord, hold your hand up. Now, well, whose fault was it? My fault. Your fault. Right? But we've all been sideways. And you know why we get sideways with the Lord? Because we forget what He's done. We get to figuring on us instead of figuring on Him. We quit focusing on the things of God and start focusing on our own selfish lusts and desires and wants. And we get sideways with the Lord. And everybody, we just now witnessed, everybody does it. Right? How many's ever been sideways with their spouse? Hold your hand up now, and all you don't, then you're a liar. My daughter, everybody be honest, and everybody holding a hand up. You've been sideways with your spouse. Well, you know how come? Because we be sinners. Huh? You ever been sideways with your neighbors? Hold your hand up, you ever been sideways with your neighbor. You know why? Because you be sinners. Huh? That's what happens. When we sideways with our spouse, let's go back to that. Hold your hand up, you ever been sideways with your spouse. Okay. You know why it means? Because you forgot what you had. You forgot what you had. You hearing me? I married a pile of people. I married a... Now, not me personally. I performed a ceremony. Huh? Well, you got to be careful with your words in this crowd. I performed a ceremony of many people. I have to tell you this. Was that with CT? Who do we talk to when we was talking to CT Townsend and Cheryl. Cheryl told CT, we were talking about both. You know, Boyd used to live with me.
Yeah, he called me on that one.
Yeah. Now, what she meant, Boyd and Jean and Caleb and Katie did live with us for about 6-7 months. They did. And that's what we was talking about. But that ain't how it come out. We got to be careful how we talk here. All right? Yeah, me and Cheryl, we're the only ones. We've just been married to one another, and she didn't used to live with both. Okay? Everybody square. All right? But the reason that they problems, though, in our home is because we forget. The reason there's a problem with me and the Lord, I forget. See, when I'm focused on Calvary, I listened to a song this week, and it said that the first picture I saw of love was Calvary. Yeah. Yeah. Something like that. When I'm focused on Calvary, me and him get along. Because I ain't going to do a thing to hurt him when I'm focused on Calvary. He ain't never going to do anything against me. Are you listening to me? But when I'm not focused on Calvary, then it's hard to tell how sideways I'll get on God. Yeah. It's hard to tell how far I'll back off. It's hard to tell what mess I'll get in. Right. If I'm not focusing on Him. Right. Because I'm just a sinner. I'm saved by grace and that makes me a saint, but I'm not perfect yet. But that's why it's important that we build our foundation upon Christ and focus on Christ, because you and me can be anywhere. The strongest man that we've ever read about was Samson.
Yeah.
And he had problems in the home.
Yeah.
The wisest man that we ever read about in Scripture was Solomon.
Yes.
He had 600 or 300 wives, 600. He was messed up.
Yeah. Yeah. How wise was
he? Huh? We all right? David. The one who, the only one in the Scripture that God says was after his heart.
Yeah.
Messed up in his home.
Yeah.
Don't you think you can?
Right.
Don't you think you're above messing up?
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
But you'll only mess up when you lose focus of what you have.
Yes.
Your relationship with Christ will never diminish if you focus on Christ.
Right.
Yeah. If you focus on you, you're a sunk ship.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Your relationship with your spouse will not diminish if you focus on your spouse. But we forget. We forget. We forget. We forget that the Lord takes us and we fail. We forget that we take our spouse and they fail. We forget that we never measure up because we've all come short of the glory of God. We never measure up to the standard which is Christ, but He don't never leave us nor forsake us, and He supplies every need we have, and He loves us in spite of that.
Yes.
Yes, He does.
But we're not very tolerant with our spouse. We forget. We forget. So let's see some things that we forget. Now we're going to have to look at some things with Christ first. Is everybody okay?
Yes.
Let me see if we can't find something here. How about Psalms 103? Does everybody follow me this morning?
Yes.
You know, sometimes in our home things that ain't as they appear. You know that? Sometimes in our home, things ain't like they appear. Like the woman, the fella was looking at her picture, her photograph, and she said, well, that's an old picture. It don't do me justice. He said, ma'am, you don't need justice. You need mercy. See, it ain't the picture of old things that we're worried about. We're not looking at a picture of how it used to be. How it used to be don't matter. It's how it is. Huh? And we don't need justice.
No.
We need mercy.
Yes.
We need mercy this morning. We okay? How about Psalms 103, verse 10? It says, he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Huh? Oh, but we walk away and we forget how much he loves us, and we get all sideways with the Lord and don't put him first and don't live for him. But it says he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. Huh? How about we drop down to verse 14? For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. See, sometimes we forget how great he is. We forget just how wonderful he is to me and you. And yet we grow cold. Why would we grow cold when somebody don't deal with us according to our iniquities? Why would we grow cold if someone looks at us and loves us and remembers, well, we're just dirt anyway? Huh? Are you still with me this morning? How about Ezra? How about the book of Ezra, if I can find it here? Sing the song here, Ezra and Nehemiah. How about Ezra chapter 9? Huh? How about verse 13? And after all that has come upon us, for our evil deeds, and for our great trespass, seeing that thou, our God, hast punished us less than our iniquities deserve, and hath given us deliverance as this. Why in the world will we go back on God? Why in the world will our love for God diminish at all? When he holds back and punishes us less than we deserve. I don't know about you. I know Mark D. Secrets. I know where my failures are. I know where I missed the mark. I know where I've been the hypocrite. I know where I've been right. I know when I've hid. I know when I've done right. I know when I've done wrong. I know all about it. And yet, I want to think about him and say, no, I ain't got time for you today. No, you're not going to be first today. I want to fulfill the lust of my flesh and the desires of my heart. Oh, if I just go back and remember that my punishment is less than I deserve.
Yeah.
There's a scripture for your song that you sing, less than I deserve. Ain't you the one that sung that one time? It's less, more than I deserve. Ain't that the way? Did you sing it, J-Rod, at the young people? Young people sung it. I thought you sung it. How about back to Psalm? We okay? Everybody understanding me this morning? We're talking about our relationship with the Lord. Psalms 130. Psalms 130. How about verse 3? See, we forget things. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, oh Lord, who shall stand? How about this morning We just spend the rest of the day here. And God, you go ahead. We're going to turn the computer over to you. And we're going to start. We want to start with Gene. We start with Gene, I reckon. We start over here on the right side. Gene, we're going to put your name up first. And we're going to mark all your iniquity. And then we're going to go to Boyd. Now we're going to, that's all going to be for everybody. And then Bill, you're next. And then Kelly. Becky, you're next. Caleb, you're next. Huh? We'll go right down the line. And we're going to mark all your iniquities. And then we're going to see what we got to think about them. Who's going to stand up and say, I knew that's the way it was. No, because we know our next, our name next. Our name's next. What are we going to see? What are we going to see when your name goes up there of your thought life?
Yeah, right.
Just your thought life. We're not going to deal. We can't deal. We ain't got enough time today to deal with your deed. We're just going to throw your thought life up there. How about we throw our attitude up there? How about we throw our sarcasm up there? Y'all can go ahead and take a vacation when it comes to mine, eh? Because it'll be a long time before we get done with mine. I'm just telling you, if we're going to mark iniquities, who's going to stand? See, he loves me. He loves me. He loves me. He loves me. Why would I let my love for him diminish? Why? Are we still okay? Is everybody following me? How about Jeremiah? No, let's go to Lamentations, not Jeremiah. Well, it's still Jeremiah, but it's the Lamentations of Jeremiah. We probably have Jerry Rush. He loves this verse. We probably have him stand up and quote it, but let's read it. There in Lamentations chapter 3. How about we read verse 22 and 23? It says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Does that mess with anybody there? Messes with me to know that his mercies was brand new this morning and I wasn't consumed of them. He's so faithful to me. But Lord, I don't have time for you. I'm sorry. There's other things more important. Just because you died for me, saved me, keeping me, give me mercy new every day. Just because you ain't marking my iniquities, just because you ain't punished me like y'all do, I think I'll just quit. Is that not the dumbest thing you ever heard?
Yeah.
Then quit! Then why do you do it? Why do I do it? Because we forget. We forget what he's done. Cheryl sung it this morning. Roll back the curtain of memory now and then. Show me where you brought me from. Where was you? Where was you when he found me? Huh? Talk to him. Where was you? Huh? Where was you? Some of you had needles getting ready to get in your arm, and some of you had the funny cigarettes and popping pills, and some of you had the liquor, and some of you was in bed with all kinds of different people, all kinds of things that's happened and changed. Oh, go back and remember where he brought you from and where you could have been. And then, oh man, we better be thankful that he loves us like he does this morning. Huh? Are we still okay? How about 2 Corinthians? 2 Corinthians, we're about done. Just wanting you to think. Wanting you to think. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 21. Everybody look at me this morning. You know your sins. You know what you've done wrong. Nobody, don't tell me. I don't want to know. But you know what you've done. You know everything you've thought. You know everywhere you've been. You know everything you've partook of. You know. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says this. For he hath made him. For God hath made Christ. Huh? For God has made Christ. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteous of God in him. For all that we are and all that we've done, that God has taken us and made Christ sin for us, that we might be made like Christ in God. Why would I want to be sideways with God? I'm going to tell you why. Because we forget. We get caught up and we forget. We don't focus. We see, but we don't focus. Are you listening to me? We know. That's how come we can say, yeah, I know. We do. But we're not focused. Are you still with me this morning? We're about done. Don't lose me now. Don't lose me now. Well, what about our home? What about our trouble down at the house? Do we forget about it too? Do we forget our relationship with our spouse? Huh? Do we forget that? Well, you're two different people. Spouses are two different people. They become one physically. They'll eventually become one mentally. Pretty close. They'll think like one another. Huh? They'll never be one emotionally. Because they're different. They'll never view things exactly the same. Right? But I think I know more than God. Don't you? Don't you think you know more than God? Look at your life. Sure you do. Look at the way you pray. Yeah, we think we got it on God. Yeah, now I know what you're saying, preacher. I really don't. Yeah, I know. I don't either, but I do. Huh? Well, what do we do with our spouse? Now hang with me now. How about Ephesians 4:31? Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Do you forget that your spouse is your brother or sister in Christ? And if that's not true, then you shouldn't have married him anyway. But if you did marry him, and then you're saved and they're not, then you need to be working on them getting saved.
Amen.
But if you are wanting a Christian home, then we better not forget a relationship. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And he said, well, that's not the home. Well, sure it is. Cheryl's my sister wife. I'm married to my sister Cheryl. I'm married to my sister Cheryl. She was a Christian when I married her. And she's married to her brother Mark. Amen, preacher.
Amen.
Then I'm supposed to be letting all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Then I'm supposed to be kind one to another. Supposed to be kind to my spouse. I'm supposed to be tender-hearted to my spouse. Forgiving one another. I'm supposed to be forgiving to my spouse. Even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. That's what the Bible said. That's what the Bible said. How about Colossians chapter 3? How about verse 13? Colossians chapter 3, verse 13. Forbearing one another. I'm supposed to forbear. I'm supposed to put up with her. And she's supposed to put up with me. That's just good terminology that we can all understand. I'm supposed to put up with her and she's supposed to put up with me. Huh? It says, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. This is interesting. If any man have a quarrel against any quarreling ever done down your house? Talk to me. Any quarreling ever done down at your house? And all ours shall have their part in the lake of fire. That's what the Bible said. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Now I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, and you ain't going to like it, and I'm going to tell you anyway, there is no excuse for a man and a woman to bust up. It's wrong as gets the Bible. There's no excuse for a man and woman to bust up.
Amen.
Right. It's what the Bible teaches.
Amen.
Forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And it's high time that we go back and remember, because we forgot some things. And when we remember, we ought to repent.
Yeah.
But we're too stinking proud to repent.
Yeah.
And our homes are in trouble. And our homes are busting up. And our churches are busting up. And God is not honored. And Christ is not glorified. And our people are going to hell because of homes.
Yeah.
And that's the truth of it.
Yes, it is.
That's the truth of it. Matthew 18. Now I know what time it is, but I didn't get in the pulpit till late. And this is the last one, so y'all here. If y'all get up and leave, you're gonna be look guilty. Matthew 18. I'm just gonna go ahead and tell you that Matthew 18 ain't got nothing to do with the simplest form of a local church. Okay? Verse 20, when it says, where there's two or three gathered in my name, there might be. That ain't got nothing to do with worship service or church service. We're talking about people that can't get along, fixing a problem. And where there's two or three gathered in the name of the Lord, then there's no problem, it ain't fixable. That's what the scripture teaches. It ain't got nothing to do about a worship service or a small church, so quit being naive and silly. Okay? That always just rankles me. Well, we're two or three are gathered in my... That ain't got nothing to do with it. We're talking about discipline in the local church in Matthew 18. All right? Starts out in verse 15. If a brother shall trespass against thee. Then talks about how to fix it. But what we want to look at is limited forgiveness. Look in verse 21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? How often shall my spouse sin against me? Till seven times? Jesus saith, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. What the scripture says. You say if they do the same thing, well, it don't necessarily just mean 70 sins of the same day or the same hour. Huh? He's trying to get us to understand there's no limit
right.
to forgiveness.
Amen.
It might be one forgiveness and then 69 thoughts of the same thing. Because you're still carrying it. You ain't buried the hatchet. Are we still okay? I'm about done. Just hang with me. Huh? We're talking about limited forgiveness. We're talking about in a home. How about an understanding forgiveness? We're talking about the command to forgive and to forbear. How about an understanding? Hey, guys, look at me. You know what our biggest problem is? We don't listen. Hey, guys, look at me. We don't listen. We don't communicate. Hey, guys, look at me. We don't listen.
Amen, preacher.
They're hurting and we don't pick up on it because we're consumed. Sometimes we're consumed with jobs. Sometimes we're consumed with our recreation. Sometimes we're just consumed with self. And we don't listen. Because the spouse is weaker. What the Bible says, and she's putting off signs that she's hurting.
Right.
And we don't listen. You hear me, guys? But if we'll look in James chapter 5. And spend a little time together with her spouse instead of just wanting to romp in the hay. Everybody understand that? Huh? Everybody understand that, don't we? Sometimes that's the only time a man wants to be near a woman and then get away quick as he can. Amen, preacher. Sometimes a woman don't want nothing to do with him. Amen, preacher. Look at verse 16, James 5. If we sit down and do this, we might not be so self-righteous. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. How about husband and wife sit down and turn the TV off and throw the stinking cell phone and the trash can and sit down at a supper table and talk a little bit?
Yeah.
Huh? And say, we got problems. And I've messed up. And here's what I got wrong with you. And you say, well, I've messed up. And here's what I got wrong with you. And you pray together. And you confess your faults one to another. And you pray together.
Amen.
That you might walk with God. I'm just talking about if you want a hellish home, then you can have her. You probably are. If you want a Christian home, we're going to have to go back to the foundation. All right. Is everybody still okay? How about Matthew? We'll read this and then we'll finish up here. How about Matthew 6? Does it matter if Jesus says it or somebody else? I thought he wrote it all, but let's just go ahead and see what Jesus said. How about Matthew 6, 14 and 15? For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. How about we just mark that in our Bible and read that every day? But I'm going to read something else. I'm going to read something else. See, we're talking about forgetting what the Lord done. Are we okay? Sure, you go on the piano. We're not going to sing this morning. I want you to find softly and tenderly. And play it. Get ready to play it just as soon as I say to play it. We forget what the Lord done. We got to look in His Word and see. And we forget, see, and we've seen it. Can you all agree that we've forgotten? Talk to me. Can you all agree that we've forgotten what the Lord has done? Well, let's look now. I want everybody to go back in their mind to the day you got married. Somebody's going to be a long time. That's good. Me and Cheryl coming up on 45 years. Huh? September 6th will be 45 years. Ain't that amazing?
Yes.
Huh? It's amazing. Listen. Amen, Cheryl. Huh? Amen, Cheryl. But on On September the 6th, on a Sunday afternoon, about 20 minutes after 3, on that Sunday afternoon, I got through saying these words. My papa asked me, he said, he wasn't married, me and Cheryl. He said, "Mark, will thou have this woman to be thy wedded wife? To live together after God's ordinance in the holy state of matrimony?" "Yes, sir." "Will thou love her and comfort her, honor and keep her in sickness and in health, and forsaking all others, keep thee only unto her so long as you both shall live?" "Yes, sir, I will." He looked at Cheryl Ann and said, "Cheryl, will thou have this man to be thy wedded husband? To live together after God's ordinance in the holy estate of matrimony? Will thou obey him and serve him, love, honor, and keep him in sickness and in health, and forsaking all others, keep thee only unto him so long as you both shall live?" And she said, "I will." Then he looked me right in the eye and he said, "Now you grab her hand, boy." That's exactly how he said it. He said, "You look her right in the eye." And I've copied that. All of y'all that I've married, I've said this thing. Now you look her in the eye, you're going to vow to her. Don't you look around to her. You look right in the eyeballs of the one you're marrying. And he said, "Repeat after me, Mark." I said, "Yes, sir." "I, Mark, take thee, Cheryl, to be my wedded wife, to have and to hold from this day forward. For better, I'm going to hold on to you, girl. For worse, I'm going to hold on to you. For richer, for poor, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish till death do us part, according to God's holy word." It's what I told you. Leave me if you want to, but I'm going with you. I'm just telling you, in the mouth of all these, I'm in front of all these men, leave me if you want to today, but I'm going to follow you, and I'm going to move in, sleeping on the couch, out in the garage, but you're not away from me, or I just want you to know that. There ain't a man big enough to stop me neither. It ain't a game. Because she told me then, his papa told her, "Now you look him in the eye, girl. I, Cheryl, take thee, Mark, to be my wedded husband, to have and to hold from this day forward. For better, for worse." Better will come sooner or later, honey. 45 years or worse, it'll get better. Just hang in there. Hang in there. For richer, for poor. We may have to wait to get to heaven on that one, but just hang in there with me. For better, for worse, for richer, for poor. In sickness, Lord help, girl, you've been with me in sickness. And in health, to love, to cherish, and to obey, till death does part, according to God's holy word. Me and Cheryl had to go back over them vows many a time. We've sat with preachers, with counseling, because we'd be sinners trying to get right with the holy God, coming together for a Christian home and ain't been perfect. But when the problems come, with my relationship with the Lord, I go back and look and see what all He's done, what all has been promised. And then when problems has come with me and Cheryl, we've had to go back and see what's been promised one to another. We've had to rely on the vows, that's for better or worse. Y'all follow me this morning? We've had to rely on the vows that are for richer or poor, sickness and in health. And I vowed to that girl, and she vowed to me, and we vowed to before God and before a church packed plumb full of people. We're going to do it till death do us part. When problems come and I lose focus of this, no. When I lose focus of that, it's not just the words, it's the focus of the person of my wife. When I have problems with the Lord, it's because I lose focus of the person of Jesus Christ. And when I lose focus of my spouse, it's because I lose the focus of the person that I married. Well, she ain't the one I married. Yes, no, she's not the one I married. No, I married the young. No harm, no insult, tiny, timid, bashful little girl. Since that time, she's grown, and I've grown. Yes. And I'm not the man she married. I've changed. Sure. She's changed. Mm-hmm. So we have to reaffirm our vows. All the time. Yeah. Are you following me?
Yeah.
And we're nowhere near what we was when we got married.
Not at all.
We're different people. But we're still husband and wife.
Yeah.
I'm not the same Christian I was in 1973.
Right. No.
I'm not the same Christian I was in 1980.
No.
There's a different relationship.
That's right.
But it's the same relationship. Are you following me?
Yes.
It's different now. Huh? We used to jump out of bed. Well, now we got to get a ladder to get in it and an ambulance to get out. Things change. Are you listening to what I'm trying to help you with this morning? Our homes are in trouble. Your home's in trouble. We've made past mistakes. We can't go back and fix some things, but boy, we can sure change some things that's going on now. I don't know how to help you no more. I don't know how to give you no more information. Like I don't know how to give you more scripture. But I'm going to ask you this morning. Have you forgotten? Huh? Have you forgotten your relationship with Him? I always love to hear when Christians get saved, and they don't do it much anymore. They used to be, when they first got saved, they had a testimony. I always think of Dana Nutter. I just preached his funeral a while back, and Dana Nutter was 66 years old or so when he got saved. First day of spring, 1995. First day of spring, March the 20th, 1995. It was on Wednesday morning. 10 minutes till 5 in the morning. All right. He came to church on Wednesday night. And he stood up and he said, "Well, today's the first day of spring. I reckon I sprung." That was his testimony. Didn't know what else to say. That was his testimony. He was so happy. See, we've forgotten about that. We've forgotten when He reached down and saved us. We forgot what we was, where we was. forgot what we could have been. And our hearts grow cold. We walk away from God, our hearts grow cold, and we wonder why things are the way they are. You need to get up out of your seat right now, Cheryl. You go ahead and start playing. And find your place around God. I'm sorry, my walk with you was messed up. Come on. You know you ain't living right. Some of you, you know it. We ain't got to play with it. Won't you get right with God this morning? I ain't living right. Oh, what have you done for me and where I'm at? Oh, I'm a mess. I need to get right with the Lord. Maybe you just need saved this morning. Come and receive Christ. Trust Christ this morning. I believe some of us, though, our homes are in trouble. We need to find a place around this altar with our spouse. We say, God, you stir our heart once again. Let's remember who we married, why we married. You remember when you fell in love? Do you remember you couldn't stand to be without them? Oh, go back to that this morning in your home. It ought to burn. Your marriage ought to burn in your heart. Love for your spouse ought to burn in your heart. Ought to be happy. Ought to be happy with the Lord this morning. You come. Let's stand together as you play. You come this morning. You come. You need help this morning. You need help. Things that are forgotten in the home. Forgiveness. Forbearance. Tender-hearted kindness. The second is the church, and we'll be preaching to the church tonight. See you at 6. How about that? Come back. If you're visiting, come back. I hope I didn't run you off.